Welcome to Super Nerd Podcast, the adventure that brings you the latest nerd news and rumors from movies, TV, entertainment, and sometimes science. You name it, if it is nerdy, we are talking about it. And tonight's main event is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 Nerd Out! I am your host, Austin, and with me, as always, is the amazing Amanda!
Hey!
And Burn, Brady Burn. Hey folks, thanks so much for joining us. We are running light tonight. Bob is celebrating his birthday, so we have to say congratulations, Bob. You made it another rotation around the sun.
Woohoo, getting older.
And Jekka's darn D&D group is messing with our podcast. She's playing D&D, which we need to do soon.
They failed their save versus scheduling.
They did, apparently. That's okay. That's okay. Jekka left us a voicemail, which you guys should do too sometime. And we'll be hearing from her. And we're obviously talking Guardians of the Galaxy a little later, but we're also talking the new Dune trailer.
Woo!
We're talking, apparently, Carl Urban is going to be playing Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat 2. And Jon Favreau is giving us some more details on Star Wars Skeleton Crew and a whole lot more. So make sure to hit that podcast subscribe button. We would love to nerd out with you each and every week. And if you've already hit that podcast subscribe button, you know what I'm going to say to you. Plus 10 Nerd XP. We love you guys.
Nerd XP!
And for everyone else, as soon as you hit that podcast subscribe button, you too can start earning Nerd XP.
Nerd XP.
Oh, you got it.
I think you guys got it at the exact same time.
It was good.
So, Brady, what's nerdy with you, my friend?
Man, I had a run-in today with the only interface that I despise to the core of my being more than Apple, and that's the PlayStation Network. Yeah, they're the worst. Anyway, I had that, and it really stressed me out, and I'm wondering about my blood pressure, but better good things that happened to me this weekend that are nerdy is my son's 14th birthday party. He invited some friends over.
Yay!
And yeah, he does. He has friends. And then
Jeez, Amanda.
You always worry about that when you have kids. Are they going to have friends? But he does. And we had three of his friends come over. So when they showed up at about 12:30, we piled them and my son and myself in my truck and then my older son and my wife in the other car. And we drove 10 minutes away to a retrocade and we spent about 2.5 hours
nice.
There. Just my older son got the high score in the arcade on Missile Command, which was
wow.
Nice. But we played those, did that, hung out for a little bit, came back here, grilled up a whole bunch of burgers and hot dogs on the charcoal Weber. And then I ran a D&D game for them. It was more of an encounter, but yeah. it was their first time to play, except for my son. It was the other guy's first time to play, and I think they had a good time. It was all first level stuff, you know, and you know when you're having to break into things and you're playing a wizard, one of them is, you know, it's you know there's not a whole lot he can do except watch his dragonborn friends hit a door. But you know, once the fighting started, they did really well and they had a good time, and it was good for me too because I got to kind of refamiliarize myself with DMing. So yeah, mm-hmm. It was a good time.
Good.
Nice, nice. Amanda, what's nerdy with you?
So it was May the 4th this week.
Mm-hmm.
And my kid's school messaged going, "Hey, we're doing Star Wars Day for May the 4th. Have your kids dress up for Star Wars Day." So my kids are all really excited. And
having the name Anakin isn't enough.
I know, really.
Oh, I talked with Anakin about that. I talked with him. I was like, "Do you want to just go with Anakin?" And he said, "No, he wanted a costume." So pulling all the costumes, and I ended up with 2 stormtroopers and a Kylo Ren. And so setting my kids out, and my kids shared like they only had 2 other kids in the school dress up.
Why? Was it because the school sent it out so late?
I have no idea, but they had done, what was it? Superhero Week the week before, and everyone dressed up for Superhero Day.
I think they just sent out the email too late.
That's funny.
So my kids, by the end of the day, their costumes were in their backpacks, and they were just wearing their Star Wars t-shirts that I made them all wear.
That's funny. And it doesn't look like it makes Austin happy.
Well, it doesn't make me happy.
The best part of it was I made all the kids wear Star Wars t-shirts. I'm like, Mom, no one's going to see under our costumes throughout the day. But I made them wear their Star Wars t-shirts.
Austin, do you feel like you failed as a father since they took their costumes off?
It does bother me a little bit. Yeah, it does. I have to admit it.
I think he might have to go talk to the school about them announcing, giving enough time for parents to prepare properly for Star Wars Day.
Almighty, man.
You know what's going to happen, don't you? You're going to end up hosting a Star Wars costume building party in your garage and inviting everyone from the class. Austin's going to be like, let's do this right. Come on. We'll watch the Star Wars movie. Then we'll watch the Clone Wars. Then we'll watch Rebels. Then we'll watch all the non-trilogy stuff, and then we'll all make costumes.
There was one kid that wasn't allowed to wear his costume.
Why?
Because all he had was the helmet that he had made himself.
And they wouldn't let him wear it?
No, because it had a mask component to it.
Mm. So?
It was General Grievous, and it was a really, really good helmet.
Why would they not? Wait. We just got out of COVID where everybody was supposed to wear masks, and now they're complaining about a mask at school. None of this makes sense to me.
I got nothing.
That school needs an Order 66 on the teachers.
Oh, Lord.
Well, what's great is there was a Commander Cody, and I was able to recognize it was Commander Cody.
That was a joke, by the way.
And... my child is the only child who tried to bring a weapon into the school.
A lightsaber?
Yes.
My little girl was
Kylo Ren.
A ranking religious officer calling for the execution of trying to take weapons to school?
They need a figurative Order 66 on those teachers. Sit them down and make them watch Star Wars.
Do you want to start the episode over, Austin? Do you want? That's funny though. So did they deny her the lightsaber entry?
Well, she made it actually into the building before everyone was like, "Wait a second, she has a lightsaber."
So what'd they do? They told her.
Made her come back and give it to me.
Oh, come on.
People did you just tell them the real weapon is her mind?
Do they have baseball bats at the school?
No, they don't.
This is a pathetic school.
There's a whole generation of children being raised not knowing what the sting and sound of a dodgeball is like as it careens against your nose.
This school does dodgeball. Let me
put it that way. Actually, yeah, they do. And they put like 12-year-olds in the same room as like 16-year-olds.
So our little 12-year-old was up against a 6'4" like high school senior. Yeah. Our poor little 7th grader.
They didn't do that to us, but there was always that one kid who had failed like 2 times, so he's developmentally like 40. And you're like 3, and he's just like ding, ding, hitting everybody. Yeah.
That's funny.
That's funny, though. Well, so were they embarrassed that they were wearing their costumes, or did they just be like, I don't want to?
No, these were the, well, for Kylo Ren, it probably got hot.
Yeah.
And for the Stormtrooper costumes, they're the one piece, like onesie costumes. And they're just annoying to be in for all day. Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Austin? Did you do anything nerdy?
So I had quite a lot to do this week, but I'll tell you what I'm going to try to do. So I have to fly somewhere, and I'm going to have a lot of downtime in the afternoons, and I'm thinking about bringing some of my D&D minis and paints and just get a lot of painting done. I am curious on how well the paint will fly in luggage, if there'll be any like weird pressure issues.
Do you have a tackle box?
I do. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a tackle box or like a craft box. You can buy it like Michael's or something. You can always stick one of those in your suitcase. Just make sure all your paints are well, like, has it been a while since you used them?
Not necessarily.
Just make sure you get them. I don't know if you have a shaker there for your hobby paints, but I would shake them before you left just to make sure they're all mixed up. Otherwise you're going to be in a hotel room. You're going to be stuck with paints that are all watery and the pigments all sunken and everything.
Well, next podcast, I'll let you know how that goes, or if all of my clothing and uniforms are all covered in, like, you know, blue paint or something. So anyways, we got some nerd news to cover, so let's jump into it.
Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Ooh. And what is the news that should be on your nerd radar? Well, the first trailer for Dune Part 2 has been released. That's right. The first full trailer for director Denis Villeneuve's highly anticipated sequel, Dune Part 2, has been released by Warner Brothers. If you're a fan of the first movie, you're going to be excited about this sequel because the trailer looks like it's going to deliver. In fact, the trailer also teases Paul's relationship with Chani. This sequel will explore the mythic journey of Paul Atreides as he unites with Chani and the Freeman while on a warpath of revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family. Facing a choice between the love of his life and the fate of the known universe, he endeavors to prevent a terrible future only he can foresee. Villeneuve has expressed his desire for the film to have a lot more heart and for it to be a very human story. Quote, "I wanted to make a very human movie, very close to the characters despite the scope of the film. I kept saying to my crew, the most important thing is that spark, that relationship between both of these characters. If we don't capture that, if we don't have that on screen, there's no movie. The epicenter of the story is this relationship." Dune Part 2 is set to hit theaters November 3rd, 2023. Let's take a listen to the trailer and we'll talk about it afterwards. Here we go.
It's breathtaking. When you see sand here, imagine water. If you dive in, you can't reach the bottom.
You dive in?
Yes, it's called swimming.
I don't believe you.
In the shadows of Arrakis lie many secrets. But the darkest of them all may remain. The end of House Atreides.
My father didn't believe in revenge.
What if Paul Atreides were still alive?
Have you ever had a dream about your first ride?
Don't try to impress anyone. You're brave, we all know that. Be simple. Be direct. Nothing fancy.
I understand.
Lose me, Paul Atreides.
We gave them something to hope for.
That's not hope!
May thy knife chip and shatter.
So I'm really, really excited for Dune Part 2. And I was going to talk about something, but I realized it's a spoiler.
Oh.
Because I've read the book.
Ah.
And I was going to excitedly talk about something. I was like, I can't talk about that. Where's Jacob when I need her?
Can you talk about it in a non-spoilery-ish
way?
Well,
what I decided to do was just talk about, like, I'm really excited to see Florence Pugh playing Princess Aurelian. I had to look up and make sure that she was playing the character I was thought she was going to play.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited because she's a great actress, and I think she's really going to do well with Princess Aurelian. She is the daughter of the Emperor that the houses are vying for favor from the Emperor. So I'm really excited to see that she's playing her. I really like the chemistry between Timothée Chalamet and Zendaya. And I really love watching him get on the sandworm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How about Butler? What's his name?
Bald Butler?
Yeah, what's his name? It's Austin Butler.
Oh, yes.
Gurney?
Yeah. 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 Did you see? Yeah, that shot of him was pretty good in there.
Yeah.
Interested to see that. And who is... come on. Thanos. The guy who played Thanos. What's his name? I can't believe I'm drawing a blank.
Plays...
Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Brolin.
Brolin plays the Baron, doesn't he? Baron Harkonnen.
Is that
who he plays? Let me take a look.
Yeah, he's really good and everything. That...
Oh, Fade Rautha. That's who you were talking about with Austin Butler.
Yeah. I have not read the books.
Yeah, neither have I.
I'm really excited to see
Josh Brolin plays Gurney.
Okay. What stood out to me is when I was reading that, Amanda, you were really, I could, you know, body language and all that. You were really picking up on the importance of the relationship.
So
that must be a huge factor for the story, because I don't remember that being even in the original Dune movie at all, really.
It is an incredibly important relationship to the storyline. And it becomes more and more clear as the story goes on how much important that relationship is. The other thing I really like is we're showing, they are showing this story from a very human perspective, because you have such a vast empire, stars, and they're bringing it down and you're seeing the scope of things from a very humanist side, from an individual point of view. And I really like how they're doing that and how they're going to bring that forward. I know where it's going, and so I'm really excited with how they're doing it. And you guys should just read the book.
Why would I spoil the movie for me? It comes out in 6 months.
God, it seems so long. It really does. For them to have this level of trailer for the movie to still be 6 months away.
Yeah.
I would like to read the movie. I read the book. I just, yeah. I would like to read the book. I just find myself with less and less time to read, unfortunately.
Well, you could just read the first half of the book before you go see the movie.
That's true. And I did read, I did just finish All Quiet on the Western Front, so I can finally watch that. So, you know.
All right, let's move on. The next trailer for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, not the universe, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse has been released. That's right, Sony Pictures has unveiled the new international trailer for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which features fresh and thrilling footage. Among the exciting moments shown is Miles Morales battling the movie's antagonist, Spot. In the film, Miles becomes Spider-Man of Brooklyn and is thrown into the multiverse where he teams up with Gwen Stacy and a new crew of spider folks to battle a foe more formidable than any they've faced. After reuniting with Gwen Stacy, Brooklyn's full-time Spider-Man finds himself propelled across the multiverse. He encounters a group of spider people tasked with defending its very existence. However, when the heroes clash over how to deal with the new threat, Miles is forced to fight other spiders and redefine what it means to be a hero in order to save his loved ones. The movie, believe it or not, will include 240 characters, and it will explore multiple universes, including Gwen's Earth 65. The film is scheduled to hit theaters June 2nd, 2023. Boy, that is right around the corner, folks. And this is the second of three installments because Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse will be released March 29th, 2024. So let's take a listen to this trailer and we'll talk about it afterwards. Here we go.
Sometimes to do what's right, we have to give up the thing we want the most.
Every day I wake up knowing that the more people I try to save, the more enemies I will make.
This is my chance to prove myself.
Anyone can wear the mask. But how you wear it, that's what matters.
What's up, danger?
Miles! Wanna get out of here?
Go! Gwen? So wait a minute. There's an elite crew with all the best spider people in it?
Who's the new guy?
This is unbelievable.
This is the lobby.
Miguel O'Hara.
The whole thing was his idea.
What's a guy got to do to join this spider team?
You can never be part of this.
Don't even get me started on Doctor Strange and the little nerd back on Earth 1999-99.
Come on, go easy on the kid. He had a terrible teacher.
Peter.
Miles.
Mayday. You have a baby?
I have a baby.
I'll take it from here. Miles, being Spider-Man is a sacrifice.
You have a choice between saving one person and saving every world.
Send me home.
I can't do that.
I can do both! Spider-Man always...
Not always.
What about Uncle Ben?
If not for Uncle Ben, most of us wouldn't be here.
Can't stop me now!
You can't run forever, kid!
I can't lose one more friend.
Miguel, this isn't what we talked about!
You
have no idea what you're doing!
Everyone keeps telling me how my story is supposed to go.
Nah, I'm gonna do my own thing.
All stations, stop Spider-Man.
You heard me?
And then I looked at my uncle and...
Let me guess. He died?
Oh, I can't wait for this one. Mm-hmm. This is going to be good. You know, and just beyond the, I mean, the storytelling in the first one was just phenomenal. I expect the same here, but the animation style in this movie is just, I mean, it's so comic book, you know, and that's one of the great things about it. And them expanding this out and knowing that it's part two in a 3-part series, it's already planned and everything. I love Miles Morales. Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And I think having Gwen Stacy in there is going to be great, you know, them reuniting, but all of these other characters that are showing up. And I'm not sure, but it seems like, I may be wrong, but the big bad Spider-Man that's portrayed in the trailer, I don't know who that is, but the voice actor for that.
It's like Spider-Man 20 or like 3099 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like I know the voice actor for that. It's like I recognize it. Maybe from somewhere. I could be wrong, but yeah, this is just looking really good, and it's looking to hold true to the first one and just kind of carry on that same tradition of solid storytelling in a comic book format, and in an original way. I'm excited to see it.
Spider-Man 2099. That's what it is.
So,
oh, okay.
My favorite part, my absolute favorite part of the trailer is where he calls out, "Stop Spider-Man!"
You, and they all point to each other in the classic meme. Yeah, it's pretty funny, for sure.
That's Oscar Isaac playing.
It is, yeah.
Spider-Man 2099. I knew that voice.
I
Vox Machina. Or not Vox Machina. No, that was it.
No, he's not
Vox Machina. Ex Machina. The movie.
Sure. This one, I think, looks better than the first one. And the first one set the bar pretty high. It was a great movie. And then, in addition to that, it, you know, the beginning of the trailer, they were obviously trying to go for a, you know, the movie Spider-Man. I'm having a brain fart. Who played the first Spider-Man?
Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire. And then second Spider-Man. Boy, my brain's
up.
Andrew Garfield. And then Tom Holland. I remember third one. But it didn't sound like they found a voice actor to try to do those, because there was something off about their voices. But
is Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, though, a dead one she's over in the trailer?
Oh, I don't know.
Huh. I was just, I saw that and I was like, I wonder if that's just like a role reversal.
Are they going to even have their Spider-Man in this movie, or are they just trying to, like, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Build momentum off of their stardom.
I think they're trying to build momentum off the other Spider-Man.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's
to show that this is a connected, it's connected through all the Spider-Man.
Sure.
That's what I think it's more about.
That's probably what it is. I agree. All right, moving on. Check this out. Carl Urban will play Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat 2. That's right. Carl Urban has secured the role of Johnny Cage in the highly anticipated Mortal Kombat 2 movie. And we fans are excited to see his take on the character. While there is still much to be revealed about the sequel, Louis Tan, who played the starring role in the first film, Cole Young, has hinted at, quote, an absolutely insane and way bigger follow-up, which he has been training his butt off for, end quote. Jeremy Slater, known for his work on Moon Knight and The Umbrella Academy, has penned the script for the sequel, and Simon McQuoid, who directed the 2021 film, will return to helm this project. Slater has discussed his approach to the franchise's gore, emphasizing the importance of balancing fun and gross elements to create moments that both disgust and delight audiences. Johnny Cage, the brash and arrogant action star / martial artist, is one of the most beloved characters in the Mortal Kombat franchise. And seeing Carl Urban bring that, you know, confidence and suave to the character is just going to be utterly hilarious.
I would watch Carl Urban read the phone book.
Well, I think about how he's in The Boys, and he is definitely used to the gore.
Oh,
keeping it light. Keeping that sense of humor with all the gore happening at the same time. So he definitely has the experience to bring that to this role. And I'm very excited to see him do that. I liked the first reboot Mortal Kombat. And so I'd love to see Carl Urban play off of the actors that are already in it.
Well, he has a different, let's be honest. He's bringing Mortal Kombat up a few notches.
Yes.
Just having him in the movie. He's a higher quality star, and let's be honest, a better actor than probably most of the people in the first Mortal Kombat film.
Well, I was just thinking about him bringing Johnny Cage to interact with the Sonya from the first Mortal Kombat movie. And I'm thinking, how much fun. Now, where are they going to have the next fight? It's probably not going to be a trailer.
That trailer fight was fun. That was
hilarious.
Cool. Yeah, the first Mortal Kombat film was a fun movie just to eat popcorn and, you know, have an enjoyable couple hours.
Watch people get massacred.
For sure. All right. Moving on, Disney Plus is making a Planet of the Apes TV series. According to a report by Giant Freaking Robot, Disney Plus is reportedly developing a series set in the Planet of the Apes universe. There are no additional details about the show, such as whether it will be linked to the film franchise or if it will be separate. However, it is speculated that the series will coincide with the release of the upcoming film, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, the fourth film in the franchise, which picks up many years after the events of War for the Planet of the Apes. The film, that film, is set to be released May 24, 2024, right around the corner 1 year from now. Steve Aspel, president of 20th Century Studios, said that he was excited to continue the series' legacy of thought-provoking cinema and share West Ball's vision with audiences. I guess, what do you think about having a Planet of the Apes TV series?
You know, okay. You know, I it's not like I'm chomping at the bit for it, but at the same time, you know, has anybody asked for this? You know, I mean, I get it. I mean, Planet of the Apes is cool and fun and all that. The original Planet of the Apes is a classic. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Especially for its era, it's phenomenal. Roddy McDowall is great. I mean, I'm okay. I'll check it out. I'm not gonna mark the date on my calendar or anything, but when it pops up in the browser, I'll check it out.
I'm wondering if this will actually fully develop or not, because it, you know, isn't Disney trying to decrease some of their budget? We'll see if they actually, you know, follow through with this or not. I really like the new Planet of the Apes movies, but believe it or not, I have not seen War for the Planet of the Apes, even though I've owned it for a couple of years.
A few more than a couple of years.
Yeah, for a few years. But I really enjoyed the first two. So I look forward to eventually sitting down and watching the third. Maybe we should do that soon, Amanda.
Well, maybe we should just have kids watch all the Planet of the Apes stuff.
We could do that. It'd be kind of fun, so... All right, moving on. Jon Favreau is giving us a little more details about Star Wars Skeleton Crew, the next Disney Plus TV series. So Star Wars Skeleton Crew, we've known for a little while, will tell the adventure of four kids seeking to find their way home in a big, bad galaxy. Information on the show has been scarce at this point, but footage apparently was shown to attendees at Star Wars Celebration in April, and they glimpsed a force using Jude Law as what appeared to possibly be a Jedi. But how does this series focus on four young kids fit in with all those other Star Wars programs? Well, Entertainment Weekly asked Favreau when he and Dave Filoni stopped by, what kind of tone should fans expect when they watch Star Wars Skeleton Crew? Well, here's what Favreau had to say. Quote, one of the things we really like about what the shows that we've been working on have, what they've turned into, is that in the tone of each episode, and in certain cases, each series really reflects the storyteller or the filmmaker. So in The Mandalorian, you could have many different tones, even though the writing is consistent across them. Different filmmakers will bring different perspectives. And so each episode hopefully feels different, though they should sit alongside one another. When people think of Star Wars as a genre, it really is a number of subgenres within the Star Wars genre. Because those were George Lucas' influences, so it could feel like a Western, it could feel like a World War II film, it could feel like a samurai film, and so you could push the limits. Especially on the Clone Wars, they deviated into many different genres, to thrillers and to noir and different types of adventures and different tones. So that's what's keeping us engaged and why I'm continuing my collaboration here. It's because it's never like you're doing just one thing. There's always room. As long as you adhere to a certain aesthetic and we all agree that it feels like Star Wars, there's actually a lot of room for how you can move around. It's interesting, too. as you see at the Star Wars Celebration panel and these great trailers, how different they all are, but they all sit together. You would never group them together, but thanks to the world that George created, they all feel like they share a common underlying aesthetic, end quote. So Star Wars Skeleton Crew is set to premiere on Disney Plus later this year. What do you think, Brady?
You know, all you have to do is say Star Wars coming, and I'm all over it, right? You know, I'm ready to see that. And they're right. I don't know, Jude Law as a Jedi. Okay, I'm okay with that. I'd rather see Cal Kestis come back, but you know, or come into the Star Wars universe, cinematic universe. But yeah, I mean, this one looks like it's going to be pretty good. I mean, from everything we're hearing, obviously we haven't seen anything of it yet, unless you were at that Star Wars event, apparently.
Correct me if you feel otherwise, but to me, it kind of feels like out of all the upcoming Star Wars TV shows, this is the one that people seem to be having the most difficulty accepting. There's like an underlining vibe of worry with this one.
I wouldn't call it worry. It's just kind of a question mark. You know, there's no investment in it, really. There's no, I guess I should say pre-investment with it, you know? So I wouldn't say worry so much as indifference. Like, maybe folks are like, okay, we'll wait and see. You know, there's not a whole lot of hype around it because the only hype around it is that it's Star Wars.
You know, very true.
And that could be good. That could be bad. That there are no preconceived notions about what it may or may not be. But it could also cause interest to wane before it ever comes out. They're really going to have to up the visibility to the viewing audience to generate interest in it, I think. And hopefully it hits. Hopefully it hits like a brick. You know, and just comes in and knocks everything out. That'd be great. But yeah, I think that's probably what we're seeing more than anything.
I wonder when's the next Stranger Things coming out?
2029, maybe. I think it's, you know, Stranger Things and their 401k.
Yeah.
Those kids are going to be Stranger like Things 40. And 401k.
I'm wondering if we're going to have two like kid adventure series around the same time. I'm just trying to look it up.
Well, Stranger Things is supposed to be, I think, coming out in 2025, and there's supposed to be a time jump. Oh. So that way that'll match their ages. At the
25?
No, I don't think.
Golly.
Oh no, maybe it's 2024. But there is supposed to be a time jump in the story to match the ages of the kids.
So, okay. All right. This just in, because I decided to look up Stranger Things. Stranger Things season 5 will be delayed because of the writer's strike. So we won't be getting it this year. So that kind of answers my question.
Well, we weren't going to be getting it this year anyway.
Well,
but it's going to be longer.
Delayed.
Yeah. So 2025 sounds about right now.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Well, I'm all for more Star Wars. Especially, yeah. Star Wars from Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau.
Is there any other anymore?
All right, moving on. Check this out. Rumors are that Adam Driver and Margot Robbie will be starring in the MCU's Fantastic Four films. That's right. Exciting news for Marvel fans as we have updates on the casting for the upcoming Fantastic Four movie. It's been confirmed, or at least rumor-wise, that Adam Driver has been offered the role of Reed Richards, a.k.a. Mr. Fantastic, in the film. Entertainment reporter Jeff Snyder revealed on the Hot Mic podcast that Driver has indeed received an offer. Snyder previously mentioned 5 months ago that Driver was in talks for the role, and Marvel Studio President Kevin Feige has previously stated that Fantastic Four will be a big pillar of the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, much like it has been in the comics for several decades. Meanwhile, it has also been reported that Margot Robbie has been offered the role of Sue Storm, a.k.a. Invisible Woman. Robbie is no stranger to the world of comic book movies, as she has been playing Harley Quinn for DC Studios for quite some time. But it has been previously reported that the studio was looking to cast Sue Storm first and then build the team around her. If the recent casting news is true, then Adam Driver and Margot Robbie will be leading the Fantastic Four team into action on the big screen near you. And this will be a new challenge for both actors as they have taken on roles, as they have not taken on roles in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It remains to be seen who will be cast, though, officially for Johnny Storm, a.k.a. the Human Torch, and Ben Grimm, a.k.a. the Thing. Marvel has yet to announce a release date for the Fantastic Four reboot, but it is expected to be a major part of Phase 5 of the MCU. Fans will just have to sit back and wait for more confirmation.
The problem with Fantastic Four is they have to get it right this time.
Yeah, they do.
This is the third reboot. If they screw it up, and this is a pillar for their storylines, they are going to hose the entire MCU.
I'm having a really hard time picturing Adam Driver as Reed Richards.
Yeah, me too, actually.
He's a great actor, but
I'm having a hard time with that. I can actually see it. Margot Robbie as Sue Storm, I could see it. Do they have the chemistry? Can they get them to have that? Who are they picking for the Thing and the Human Torch?
Yeah, I don't know yet.
Because Sue Storm and the Human Torch are siblings, and that's a very important detail. That one, I didn't even see the second reboot. Or I guess this is the second reboot. I didn't even see the first reboot because already I was in disbelief that Sue Storm and Human Torch were siblings. Like it from the trailers, it didn't even work.
Margot Robbie and Adam Driver are two different actors. Margot Robbie is much more lighthearted. And Adam Driver is quite the serious actor.
And that can really work for Sue Storm and Reed Richards. That can work. Will it work is another story entirely.
I got to be honest with you. I really like John Krasinski. In the, what movie was that?
He's the perfect Reed Richards.
Yeah, he was. He did great. Why not give the role to him?
I don't know.
He's been fan cast as Reed Richards for so long.
Oh, no. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. That's where he was in, right? Yeah. Yes. Okay. I'm remembering now.
Yep. He was. He was great. He's perfect for that role, which is even more bewildering why they would go to Adam Driver.
Well, Adam Driver hasn't even accepted it. Oh. They've just said that he's been made the offer. So, and some other rumors that I've heard about some of the casting, I'm really hoping are completely bogus and just to get fan attention. Clickbaits.
He'd be a much better Dr. Doom.
Oh, yes, he would.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, he'd be a great Dr. Doom.
Kevin Feige, I'm available for all casting decisions.
I really can see Adam Driver as Reed Richards. Like, I think he could do a really good job, but they have to get it right. They have to get it right.
Well.
And that might drive Adam Driver away because he's already been in a high pressure, you have to get it right type situation with Star Wars.
I have more trust in Kevin Feige's MCU to get Fantastic Four right this time around.
I do too.
Yeah. So, we'll just have to wait and see. But, unless there's something you guys want to keep saying, I think it's time to talk Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm interested.
All right, let's do it.
We had our honeymoon on Alderaan.
Good thing we took pictures, huh?
Shut up, Wesley.
You have no idea what you're dealing with.
Shakespeare in the Park.
And that bell means it is time for our main event! Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3, Nerd Out!
I'm gonna tell you something. I'm Star-Lord. I formed the Guardians. Met a girl, fell in love. That girl died, but then she came back. Came back a total dick.
Oh, please. He left out some important information, but that is the gist of it. I get the same old dreams, same time every night.
Fall to the ground and I wake up. My sacred mission is to create the perfect society.
He didn't want to make things perfect. He just hated things the way they are.
I want you all to know that I am grateful to fight beside my friends.
Incinerate them.
Searching for a family until we found each other.
Are you ready for one last ride?
We'll all fly away together into the forever and beautiful sky.
Whoever it was that you were in love with, it sounds more like her.
Her?
That's
do not bring me into this. Don't even.
Knock it off!
What?
I just never noticed how black your eyes were.
They were replaced by my father as a method of torture.
He picked a pretty set.
Hey, special shout out to all you super nerds who have hit that podcast subscribe button. We really, really appreciate you. Please help us get the word out. Tell a friend about the podcast. And I want to invite you to hit that podcast subscribe button if you've not done so already. Come on, do it. You'll get plus 10 nerd XP.
Nerd XP!
All right, so Jekka is not here, but she did leave us a voicemail. So let's take a listen to that first before we jump into our thoughts.
Hey, super nerds. Sorry, I couldn't make it. I did go see the movie, though, and I have to say, I really enjoyed this Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 more than I expected or anticipated, especially considering, like, I'm getting Marvel burnout, but I really enjoyed this one. And I think the biggest reason why is because of the Guardians. Rocket's my absolute favorite, and he has been from the get-go. And the fact that this one was very focused on his backstory and how, like, where he's coming from, how he was created, so to speak, and, like, just where he is now, loved it. And I was not expecting to shed a few tears, so that was crazy. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it, so I hope you all did too. See you next time.
I 100%. Sorry, I 100% agree with Jekka's assessment.
We are on mute by accident. Go ahead, Amanda.
So I'm all talking away. One of the things that I really liked about what she said, she talked about her Marvel burnout. And what I think is part of that Marvel burnout is I don't think they've been hitting the mark. And the last few movies and the TV series, they have to hit it or they create burnout.
And what would you say that mark is? I have a thought on what that mark is that Guardians of the Galaxy hit that other Marvel films have not been hitting.
So one of the things that I thought, because I had read something about this, and it made me think about how much I did enjoy Thor, Love, and Thunder, but I did think they went way over the top in the comedy. They didn't keep it centered enough. They just went over the top, which is kind of Taika Waititi's thing, that he kind of likes to go over the top. But with Guardians of the Galaxy 3, they had the comedy, but it had the emotional aspects of it, they kept focused instead of adding comedy to those emotional parts of the story.
Okay. You slightly hinted at what I think is
okay.
The culprit. You referenced Thor, Love and Thunder. I'm going to reference the most recent Ant-Man, Quantumania. What Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 had, and they did very well, is they continued to build character. There was character development. I mean, if you think about Ant-Man Quantumania, they had Ant-Man show up and just beat up people, and then it was the end of the film. There wasn't really any development at all.
They focused on his daughter, and he had no development from there.
Yeah, like some of the Marvel movies and TV shows, I mean, I think I'm starting to get on it, is that they really are skimming the surface when it comes to character development still. And every single one of these characters had deep character development. And James Gunn just really knocked it out of the park. In fact, I saw a meme the other day that it basically said James Gunn saved the MCU and he will save the DCU. So and what's so crazy to think about all that is if you remember Marvel actually fired James Gunn off of Volume 3 and this just sat for like a good solid year until like the cancel culture, you know, forgot about what he did. Cause in all honesty, I don't remember what James Gunn did and it was so blown out of proportion.
What it is the actors,
and they brought him back.
The actors went to bat for him because they like working with him because he's good at what he does.
I honestly don't remember why he was fired at all.
It was tweets from over a decade before. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's like at that point, it's like you're hunting for a reason to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he knocked it out of the park so thoroughly. This was such a great movie. It was the best MCU movie that I've seen in a good while. Like a good while. And it was, and it's not to say that like, it's not to say that this movie was so good because it's of epic proportions. It was so good because it felt like an early MCU film in which those early MCU films were, you know, they were hitting those marks, building character development, getting people attached to the characters, as opposed to just sitting and watching a character do something on the screen just because it's an MCU film. And so, but when I think about this film, you know, some of the things I really enjoyed is Star-Lord's character had, you know, deep character development and trying to figure out, you know, where he is in the universe without the Gamora he loves, even though there's this past Gamora that he happens to be interacting with who doesn't even know him. And boy, that Gamora is a jerk.
Well, what I like is I really feel like watching her and thinking back to the first Guardians of the Galaxy. Yes, she did really well bringing that character back with no character development, and she had to redevelop that character.
And it was kind of cool, like you, even though her Gamora repeatedly told Star-Lord, hey, I'm not the Gamora that you love. I'm not this person. I'm somebody different. Nonetheless, you could see that her Gamora, like at the end of the movie, like I almost expected her to say, hey, I might not be your Gamora, but I could see why she liked you or something like that. Because you could kind of see that in her own character. That was her character development and story arc throughout this film, is that just little dents in her armor, as thick as it was, were starting to make an impact. And then Drax, I got to admit that scene, in which Mantis basically was like telling him to his face in order to defend him that he's stupid. Like Drax was hurt by that. And I got to admit, like, I felt bad for Drax. And then finally Nebula sees the real value that Drax brings. And was it Mantis or was it Nebula that had that great line? Drax, you're not a destroyer. You're a dad. That's what your purpose was.
And I think that was Mantis.
Was it? Well, whoever it was, like, that was perfect for Drax's character. I loved it.
I honestly, one of my favorite parts with Drax's character was when he just starts talking to the kids, because everyone else is pulling out in charge and no one's stopping to go, who's the best person to handle this situation? They just always assume that they are the best person to handle all the situations. And when they both, Mantis and Nebula, fail, Drax just walks up and starts talking to them.
Yeah.
And gets it done. And Nebula's like, why didn't you tell me you spoke their language? It's like, you never bothered to ask me.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. In the interest of full disclosure, I didn't get to see this.
Yeah.
I'm really wanting to, though. It just time prohibitive for me this weekend. And I'm really wanting to see this. That being said, I'm not anti-spoiler or anything.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I do have a question about Drax in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
How did it end up with him?
Perfect.
Okay.
It was like a perfect ending for him. So
did he die?
No.
No.
So, okay. The end, so they're finding out where Rocket came from. And it's this man that he creates batches of experiments to create a new perfect Earth.
The high evolutionary.
And he's evolving creatures to be perfect so he can have a utopia society. And he keeps failing.
He's failing at developing a perfect society.
And Rocket is his first creation that he actually paid enough attention to to realize that Rocket had independence and knowledge. What he didn't realize was that all of his creatures had that. He just didn't pay enough attention to the creativity that they could have.
Yeah, I actually really like the high evolutionary as a bad guy. He, in all honesty, was a lot more interesting as a villain than even the new big bad they're trying to set up in the MCU, Kang.
There's a reason I ask, and that's because I don't think Bautista has any further contractual obligations with Marvel.
Well, yeah, I was about to get to where Drax went. So we find out that there's this batch of kids that the High Evolutionary has created, and they want to save all the kids.
But they speak a language that none of them can interpret.
Except for Drax. And so they're able to save all the kids, bring them to the town, and they're talking about who's going to stay with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And it was decided that Drax should stay with the kids because he makes
a better dad.
Yeah.
To
these kids, which is like a perfect story arc ending for his character, having basically gone on this rampage with the Guardians because he lost his daughter. And now he's inherited, like, now he's going to be the father of like a few hundred kids, and all the kids adore him. So it's like, it's a heartwarming, perfect conclusion to his story.
Yeah.
And Peter Quill, Chris Pratt's character, had quite the interesting, full circle moment too, in which he actually goes back to Earth, real Earth, to find his family. And, you know, the whole time that they're doing the, you know, here he is, he's on Earth, he's left the Guardians, like some of the Guardians are going their separate way for whatever reason. And the reasons are, you know, realistic for their characters. So you don't feel mad or anything that like, oh, this is just stupid. They're doing this just because, you know, the contracts are coming to the end. It works. But what I did not expect is the end credit scene, if you stayed long enough, the one after the trailer or after the credits completely end, actually show him just eating a bowl of cereal with his grandpa. You know, like the most mundane everyday talk. They're just talking about, you know,
mowing the lawn,
you know, nothing important at all. And then the end credit scene ends. And like everybody in the theater was kind of scratching their head like, that was the end credit scene? Like that was like there was nothing to that at all. And then the words appear like a James Bond movie, Star-Lord will return. And you're like, oh, okay, all right. So that's what they were doing. Because otherwise, you're just watching them just like, he's just eating a bowl of cereal and talking about mowing the lawn with his grandpa. It's like, all right.
Well, what I liked about that, though, was it was the completion of his family story. Where he finishes out the connection to his family, because family had been so important to him.
Well, you know, Mantis is still his family, too, his sister.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But he abandoned his grandpa at age 8.
Yeah.
And they do go over that in the film. Like, why don't you go see your grandpa?
Yeah. You know, Mantis shoved a dagger in the heart when I heard her say, look, you lost your mom on that day, but your grandpa lost his daughter and you on that day. And you could tell that affected Star-Lord when he heard that. He had never put that into perspective before. It's like, oh, you know what? You're right, Mantis. That hurts. So, yeah, good stuff all the way around. And, oh, Rocket. Rocket was the pretty much the main character of this film, even though it was mostly in like weird flashbacks as the dog gets into something over here. What are you doing, dog? Anyways, Rocket's character had an extraordinary amount of character development. Seeing what he went through, why he is who he is, and they actually gave Rocket a lot of heart beneath that kind of thick hide that he always, you know, carries.
Well, I love his collection of things from when he was in the cage of the Hive Evolutionary, and how because he collected the most randomest things, he was able to escape. Yeah. And so it really lent to his character being like, I want your fake eye. I want your prosthetic leg. It's just because he collects random things to rebuild into something else.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. We finally heard Groot.
Oh, really?
We finally heard Groot say something besides "I am Groot." Which, side note, the joke that they had running through the movie with this, you know, past Gamora interacting with Groot was utterly hilarious. I know what your name is. Why do you always say that? And then she didn't believe that the rest of the crew could actually understand what he was saying when all he says is "I am Groot" until her heart starts to, you know, melt a little bit and she can finally understand Groot. And then at the very end, we can understand Groot. And what does he say? Do you remember?
I love you guys.
Yeah, I love you guys. So yeah, just a heartwarming movie. What is the dog doing?
He's stealing a towel.
I think our dog's like in a chewing phase where he's going around like eating everything he can, put it in his mouth.
He's learning. He needs to learn to not chew on. Like, he took the bathroom towel and stole it from the bathroom.
The gray one?
No, this one for drying hands.
I've been wondering where that's been.
Yeah, he stole it.
Perhaps if he developed intellect and autonomy, he could make some decisions. That chewing phase will end here in about 2 years. I'm really wanting to get away and see this. It's been, you know, it's been a while since I've watched the second one, right? Mm-hmm. So should I go back and watch that beforehand?
We didn't.
Or the Christmas special?
You've seen the Christmas special though, right?
I have.
So you know the gist of what you need to for that.
They actually do just very slightly reference the Christmas special. So if you had watched it, you get a little small Easter egg.
The town from the Christmas special where the Guardians live, that's an important part of where they're living now.
Mm. Oh my word! That end scene was so freaking cool when the pirate skull takes on like the high evolutionary's Borg cube thing. That was so cool. It was like almost straight out of like a pirate movie, except for it was spaceships with the cannons coming out of the eye. It was so cool to watch. I was totally expecting like a Pirates of the Caribbean, like, you know, with all the cannons. Oh, it was cool. Yeah, I mean, good movie. I don't know where they're going to go with Guardians of the Galaxy moving forward. I mean, they do show in the first of the two end credit scenes that Rocket Raccoon is, in fact, leading a new team of Guardians. Do you think they'll continue making Guardians of the Galaxy movies, but with Rocket and without James Gunn, obviously?
The thing is that what James Gunn created at the end was potentials. That the characters are in multiple places and they have the potential to come back. And he's leaving all these loose ends for the MCU to take wherever they will.
Yeah.
Well, it's coming out of the weekend with a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, and that's audience score.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's a testament to how folks are viewing it, right?
Yeah.
What did it get for reviewers? Oh, I'm looking at it now.
81.
Yeah, it's definitely closer to the 95. It was a dang good film. A lot of fun, really enjoyable. Not for a minute did it ever feel like it was dragging.
How long was that movie?
Oh, I don't know, actually.
2 hours.
Yeah, 2.5 hours. Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can see it at the top.
Yeah, 2 hours. Yeah, it did not feel like two and a half hours. Hmm. Yeah, just James Gunn, he knew what he wanted to do, and he did it very well.
Well, you have to think about moving forward with Guardians of the Galaxy's characters, you know, minus James Gunn. Are they going to be the same, right?
I think they would. I mean, they got three great films to really build a template off of.
Right.
But, you know, Kathleen Kennedy messed that up when having, you know, six films to do that. But anyways, I mean, they did, I said it earlier, they did say Star-Lord will return. So to me, that sounds like there will be another Guardians of the Galaxy film with Peter Quill back in it.
I don't think there's going to be another Guardians of the Galaxy film. I think they're going to use some of the Guardians of the Galaxy characters in other films.
Probably be more cameos, except for Star-Lord. Star-Lord can, you know, warrant a main character role.
Let's see here. Well, I'm just reading. I'm reading on this. Will Star-Lord return in Guardians of the Galaxy 4? Well, yeah, the final title card reads Star-Lord will return. However, the title card means that Star-Lord will return in the MCU and Pratt is still open to playing him. Pratt told Game Radar, quote, "It would be strange to continue Peter's story without James Gunn to continue to direct and tell the story. It would really be important to honor what he's done in the first three films and to honor what the fans have grown to love about the characters and not simply do it because people might show up to pay for it. You know, I don't want to be cynical in the approach. And if that's the case, I just wouldn't do it at all. So maybe down the road, if something makes sense, I would do it, but it would really have to check a lot of the right boxes." So I guess what does Star-Lord will return really mean? Is that just the MCU trying to say, hey, give us more money? Or is that the MCU saying, hey, don't worry, we're actually going to follow through and produce something that does check all the right boxes? So, you know, Chris Pratt does return to play Star-Lord. I don't quite know what to make of all that yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
one of the important things to recognize is in the comic books, people change teams all the time. I don't know if Star-Lord has ever been connected with another team besides Guardians of the Galaxy, but he could go to a different team. We could have other characters join the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think I'm just going to leave it as Star-Lord will return, possibly. I'm not 100% convinced that the MCU quite has a full idea of what they're going to do with him yet.
Didn't he have a role in Secret Wars? I don't know. That's just something to think about.
He very well could.
Well, is Star-Lord in Secret Wars?
I think there are a lot of options for him.
I would love to have him back. I'm just not 100% convinced, but it does seem pretty, you know, the confirmation seems pretty legit when it does say Star-Lord will return. We'll see.
Honestly, he would be a great person to be on the Earth during the Secret Invasion because he has experience with aliens, and he would be someone that the aliens, what they're called.
The green guys?
Yeah, the green guys.
The Skrulls.
The Skrulls wouldn't know to target him. And so he would be someone that you're pretty sure isn't going to be a Skrull.
Well, we will see.
Yeah.
All right, final thoughts. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Amanda.
I really enjoyed it. It really made me more energized for the MCU, which
yes,
I really liked. I it'd been kind of fading. I enjoyed the other MCU movies, but it didn't give me the excitement about future movies like Guardians of the Galaxy 3 has.
Yeah, I think Jekka nailed on the head. Little bit of Marvel burnout has filtered into us nerds, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was a much needed boost in the right direction. Great film. Brady, what do you think?
I just want to see it. You know, I mean, I wanted to see it anyway, but you guys have just hyped it up even more and I galvanized, you know, what I suspected about it. So,
I will say also for my final thought was I really, really loved the Reaver attack at the beginning where all the Reavers just suction onto their ship. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought you said reefer attack, and I was like, what?
Yeah, it was a very strong reefer attack led by Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Well, with that,
they're all just sailing through space eating Funyuns and drinking Mountain Dew. What's going on?
Well, folks, thanks so much for joining us on another adventure of Super Nerd Podcast. Make sure to hit that podcast subscribe button and leave us a review. You're listening to us. Subscribe and review us on Google, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, and whatever else. Excellent. What we're doing next week. We're going to talk about it.
It's a podcast surprise.
Wow. You can always reach out to us and leave us a placement like Super Podcast, and you just need the information. You can also email us Super Nerd Podcast at gmail.com. Facebook is looking for Super Nerd Podcast. Give us a share. But from all of us at Super Nerd Podcast, stay in the comments.
Farewell.